Hare Krishna. Continuing our Kali Yuga series, I'm going to quote, although I don't have the Sanskrit, from Mahabharata rather than Srimad Bhagavatam. We'll continue with the Bhagavatam verse tomorrow. And this is Markandeya Rishi, who's prophesizing on the symptoms of Kali Yuga. And he gives a very long list, many of which obviously are to be found in the Bhagavatam. Others are not there, and we may find them interesting, or rather others are sort of elaboration on the principles found in the Bhagavatam. The first one is that the devotees are persecuted. But prosecution is a form of persecution. Srila Prabhupada had said that in the beginning people will make fun of us, they'll laugh at us in the beginning of the history of Krishna consciousness, and then when they get to know what we're really about, then they're going to persecute us, and at a certain point then circumstances will change and they will grow to love us. We've experienced persecution in different places in the world. In fact, could say that every place in the world received a certain level of persecution. Here in Hungary, repeatedly, I'd say that we're constantly living under the threat of persecution of one form or another. And of course, it has been violent, as it has been in some places. No one's here been put in jail for being a Hare Krishna as elsewhere. But it may come to that. Who knows? Ultimately, it's all part and parcel of spreading Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada in the Bhagavatam writes that devotees are always envied by non-devotees, and therefore they persecute them and make all kinds of difficulty for them in the way that Prahlad Maharaj, simply because he was a devotee, was taken to task by his demoniac father. Then they say, charity and sacrifices are performed just for show. I gave an example of a discussion I once had with a very affluent person in London. And interestingly enough, he was asking me, he says, what do I think he should donate to or give in charity to? And I found that very interesting. I told him, you're asking me that question. Expect me to tell you anything else, that you should give it to Krishna consciousness and give it to me. And his reply was that, well, if I give it to ISKCON, if I give it to a religious cause, no one will really recognize my donation. But if I give it to a charity, if I do for food distribution, for building a hospital, for educating children, then that will give me real recognition. And I need that recognition in order to offset the bad reputation that I get from doing my business. So we see that people give charity, and same thing, they perform sacrifices. It's something that you need to do. It's something by which you get a certain level of recognition and respect. It's not really necessarily something that's heartfelt. What to speak of in the best interest of the world. Then he says, Brahmins work like Shudras while Shudras prosper. A Brahmin to be teaching transcendental knowledge, to be practicing spiritual life, requires to be independent, because if you're not independent, then you can't make spiritual life your priority, and if spiritual life is not your priority, you're not a Brahmin. But when you're a Shudra, which means that you're dependent on others, when you're employed, then you've compromised your situation and you become a Brahma Bandhu. Even if in case of emergency, Brahmins have to do some type of other employment, then it's always desirable to be self-employed, rather, because when you're self-employed, you're still called the shots. You can still determine what priorities are. then, it says, kings and presidents cannot set a good example for the people because they themselves are sinners. Well, that's something that we see constantly. There's ongoing scandals one after another about politicians and leaders, and although they're meant to be actually leading, but in order to lead, then then there should be example. But they don't set any type of example that's worthwhile for people to follow. They themselves are very often without real morals, corrupt, in positions of authority for personal gain, not to benefit those whom they are actually supposed to be leading and protecting. Next, meat eating becomes common. Although meat eating is there in Vedic culture, it's not something that's done on a high street. It's not something that's done in public in restaurants, but it's something that's done out of the way. Why? Because it's a shameful thing. And what to speak of cow killing, cow slaughter, systematic cow slaughter, these are incomprehensible things for those in previous ages. And he adds to that, Markandeya Rishi, that animals and even humans are raised for slaughter. Well, we haven't seen the humans being raised for slaughter, but we've certainly seen humans slaughtered. At least they haven't been raised for slaughter to be eaten. But no doubt the words of scripture come true. People are short-lived. Their stature is diminished. It was interesting to note that quite some time ago I had read an article which had pointed out that in the First and Second World War in the UK, so many soldiers had died in war. And the soldiers were the hardiest, the strongest, most robust people, that now the average height of the Englishman is much less than it was, say, for instance, before the First World War. Shorter people were left after the two world wars, and the shorter people beget shorter people. But as pictures in Bhagavatam depict, people become shorter and shorter and shorter. One is their sinful lifestyle, their eating habits, their consciousness, and added to this decreased in stature, the senses of taste and smell vanish. In other words, people can't taste anything, and people can't smell things properly. Women become prostitutes. Of course, there were prostitutes before as well. So what does it mean that women become prostitutes? That not those who have the profession of being prostitutes, but other women, their very conduct, their very lifestyle, their very appearance is that of prostitutes, at least the prostitutes of Vedic culture. And we hear that Srila Prabhupada often would repeat this saying of some actress, dancer, or politician, they're just prostitutes. They weren't professionals. But because they mixed freely with men, because they didn't cover their bodies, but rather they exposed their bodies, and because they were bold and brash and sought for equal rights and to have the lifestyle of men, Srila Prabhupada would also refer to these women as prostitutes. Cows give no milk. Well, they certainly give decreased milk at present. And we see that a lot of the cows which are raised for slaughter are not milk-giving cows. And if we read Bhagavatam, how the cows used to just wet the pastures with the milk flowing from their udders, then yes, definitely how much milk cows are giving is decreasing. And that decrease of milk ultimately means cow slaughter, because it becomes, when cows give so little, then it's no longer economically viable to maintain them, because the price of the milk becomes so high, it becomes like gold. When milk is plentiful, then there's no need to sell a cow for its flesh, because it produces so much milk in abundance that it's actually very profitable. But we see Krishna's associates, Nanda Maharaj's people, that they were cowherd men, and just from being cowherd men, they had such an abundance of milk that they were extremely wealthy. Now, those farmers who take up dairy for a living, they need to be subsidized by the government because they can't make ends meet. So cow gives no milk. Violent, bestial men run rampart, and murder and robbery are commonplace. Although these things are certainly mentioned in scriptures, but the indication here is that those were very unusual occurrences. They weren't everyday occurrences. We look at statistics, we see how every day, how commonplace all these acts of thievery and violence are. And no one knows the meaning of God or truth. That's true. People may call themselves religious, but they ask them, so what's your concept of God? They don't really have an answer. And they become mad for intoxication and sex. Here's an interesting one. Flowers and fruits decrease. And what increases? Well, if you said weeds, then you're wrong. Crows increase. Very interesting. People think that they become beautiful by growing long hair. That's straight out of the Bhagavatam. No one observes religious principles. The seasons become mixed. Here I am in the middle of winter in Hungary. Instead of snow on the ground, it's like 10, 12 degrees out there every day. So global warming here is predicted already thousands of years ago. Rainfall diminishes, and that also adds to the climatic change. Trees and plants refuse to grow. Well, that's interesting. It's not that they're just not growing, they're refusing to grow. And young girls become pregnant, which is not news in Vedic culture because they're girls also married at a young age and had children at a relative young age. But here I take this to mean that young girls who aren't married become pregnant. That didn't happen. And here's one that's not in the Bhagavatam and very interesting. And boys turn gray-headed. I know many young people in their 20s who have gray hair, a symptom of Kali Yuga. Very interesting. Old men refuse to abandon the follies of youth. Srila Prabhupada so often talked about old men going to nightclubs and courting young girls, and how often do we see 80-year-old men getting married to 25, 30-year-old women? For what? They want to relive their youth, but obviously they can't. The body's not going to cooperate, but still, they're trying, and with their wealth, they try to compensate for that. And large-scale famine and violent earthquakes will kill millions of people, so we can expect natural calamities to come. So there are a lot of symptoms of Kali Yuga. Mostly they're the symptoms of irreligion. I say mostly because, for instance, earthquakes killing millions of people is probably a byproduct of irreligion and not necessarily a symptom of irreligion. And for that reason, devotees need to know what is religion and what is irreligion. And we need to always act in a religious way. In order to act in a religious way, we need to be spiritually strong, and that spiritual strength comes by chanting Hare Krishna, not casually, but very, very seriously. And always doing the right thing. It's like a pot. If you immerse a pot in water, wherever there's a hole, a little hole, immediately water will come in. So similarly, if we leave a gap in our conduct, and we don't adopt the conduct of pure Vaishnavas, then Kali will infiltrate and ultimately will contaminate us by its influence. So we should be very, very careful. And that is why Srila Prabhupada wanted us to really adopt Vaishnava culture, Krishna consciousness, not about adding Krishna consciousness to the Kali Yuga culture that we live in. Practically speaking, all of the things that are in the world around us are more or less sinful or tainted with sin or connected. We need to start from the ground up, right from the very roots, And that's why Prabhupada wanted us to incorporate Varnashram, which is not just about dividing society. It's also about following all the rules and regulations that apply to those different orders of society. And those rules are based on the real principles of Dharma. So something to think about for everyone today and heading into Budapest. And tomorrow there will be our Sankirtan festival as well as our New Year's festival in the evening. And Harinam as well on the streets. Sounds like a real busy day. Hare Krishna.